You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Their young guys are at the peak of their game. You know, it's the blue-haired kid is you know, kind of a freak right now, the way he's playing. The new kid with the huge feet, that kid is... what a hitter, you know what I mean? What a hitter. I just notice him when he's digging in the box, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. You know, but he's, what a hitter. What a hitter. Put the kid with blue hair on the mound, he can do anything else right now. Superhuman. Does he still have blue hair?
I don't think so. They showed him with his blonde hair now, I think.
Well, I like that kid, man. He's a good player.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, boy.
And we've been talking about the guy with the big feet and the kid with the blue hair. That, of course, Pat Murphy, the Milwaukee Brewers manager, how he is...
Describing the Cubs players?
Yes.
Describing them like they are exhibits in a baseball museum.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the blue-haired kid. You don't want to miss that.
And there's the new kid.
Oh, yeah. And the kid
the
with the
big
feet. Him.
With the huge feet.
The huge feet. Size 14s, I believe. Huge size 14s feet. For Kyle Tucker and PCA.
Like, Will Perdue must have laughed at that.
Right. You want big feet. What's Will, 22?
21 or 22.
Size 22?
Yeah.
Good big, understanding there.
big feet.
PCA doesn't have the blue hair anymore. But he certainly has the big bat, and he made the Brewers pitchers pay. Friday night, you mentioned the two home runs. Saturday, off Jose Quintana. That was an interesting one, too. Great at bat against Quintana.
Yeah.
He kept on hanging in there and then went deep. And then the gesture he made to Saturday night was the money gesture to Daniel Palencia, correct? Because Daniel Palencia, the Cubs' bullpen arm, had talked to PCA before the game about when he would homer.
What inning he would homer in.
And he said second at bat.
And it was the fourth inning.
And he delivered. And he delivered on cue, and that's why he was making the money sign, not the you know, rubbing his thumb and finger together, not to get paid necessarily. He'll get paid. He'll get his money. But I think that was fun. And he just has fun. PCA is having fun. It's easy to have fun when you have 9 home runs in 17 games. But I think that kind of enthusiasm is infectious. And this Cub team, despite the bad news of Sunday, is really having a good time.
But I think that when you asked me who's going to have the better year, him or Kyle Tucker, I just think Kyle Tucker has done it for a long time. And he's been that good for a while. And he's also headed to unrestricted free agency. So I felt all along he was going to have a big year this year. But
So far, you're right. And 331 says Tucker has done this for his entire career, PCA 17 games. Did you text that?
No, but that's basically what I'm saying. Someone else said that they believe that that PCA will end up with the higher WAR, that Tucker will
higher OPS.
Have the higher OPS, which is interesting because he's such a great defensive player.
Well, both are good plus defenders. PCA is in a class by himself. I think he is an elite defender. Kyle Tucker above average. PCA, if he stays healthy, I think this is the year he wins his first Gold Glove. At the rate that he's making plays,
he's an excellent player.
His arm is a tool, and his outs above replacement are outs. But there's so many stats. He is making an impact in every way he can.
Yes, he's a great defensive player, and now he's hitting everything known to man. And that blue hair kid's pretty good.
Did you take that as a compliment or?
It was an excellent backhanded compliment,
mm-hmm.
because he kind of it's derisive to call him the blue haired guy. Does he still have blue hair? he's appreciative of him and said did he call him Superman? Called him what he's doing. I mean,
it is. It's really all around because and the statistic is. PCA leads MLB with 7 outs above average. And so that is another element of his game that is elite. And so it's the most remarkable thing about all of this weekend, though, despite the home runs and the fielding and the compliments from the opposing manager.
Do you think
chanting his name?
But is that compliments?
Yeah.
They can put the kid with blue hair on the
mound.
Yeah,
it's a compliment.
He can respect. Do anything else right now. Superhuman.
It's respect.
Superhuman.
It's respect. The ultimate respect, you're at American Family Ballpark, is that what they're calling it now? And
American Family.
They are chanting PCA in the Brewers' home ballpark.
Well.
What a slap in the face.
Cubs took over. And I mean, the Brewers.
Wrigley North, indeed.
The Brewers fans were non-existent for two days. There was nothing there. And then they finally got their voice a little bit when Johnny Peralta, when they got like the Peralta game.
Well, yeah, that was compromised because Shota went out.
I know, but I'm saying he pitched great.
Yeah, the fans, they showed up. But on Friday and Saturday night, it was like a Cub home game.
Yes.
It sounded like it was so much a one-sided in terms of enthusiasm and crowd noise and chant that when they won – after the final pitch on television, on the Marquee Sports Network, I think Alex Cohen even said, sing the song. And you waited for people to break out and go Cubs go on the road because it was that prevalent.
Yeah, but Freddie Peralta has been their ace for about 5 years now. He's their best pitcher, and he pitched a gem. And you're right. If Shota doesn't get hurt, you don't have – Merriweather come in and give up the runs and who knows, but it was a really good pitching performance and there's nothing else you can say about it.
Yeah, he was a big boy today. Like it was big boy Freddie. It was come right at you. Here I am. My stuff's good enough. I'll throw any pitch on any count. His changeup was great today. His breaking ball was good, but his right on right changeup was good. He went at people. Everybody knows fastball Freddie. They're gonna get a heater, but he also use that changeup.
Murph's got a nickname for everybody.
Yeah, he's really...
Fastball Freddy. Jeez. Fastball Freddy had his fastball working.
He was good.
And they don't have Corbin Burns this year, though. They don't have the depth in the rotation. They have been beset by injuries, which is what we talked to Murph on Saturday morning and inside the clubhouse. He talked about how just the rash of injuries have prevented them from doing what they wanted to do so far early this season. They don't have... Adames at shortstop. They don't have the kind of depth in their lineup that they want. They're still going to be hanging around. You figure the Brewers will hang around. But this was a good weekend to get them for the Cubs. And now the Cubs have to figure out, with the Giants coming to town, and they will be at Wrigley tonight, right here on the Score, you have a crisis. Because if Shota Imanaga, if the news isn't good, and it doesn't seem like it will be, then you're going to have to figure out what to do about your rotation. You have Chris Flexen as an option.
Yep.
You've got Jordan Wicks as an option. And, of course, you've got Cade Horton as an option. To me, you have A, B, or C.
But you go C.
I would go C. I would go see. I would bring up Cade Horton, and you don't have to make a big deal about it. It doesn't have to be amid a lot of fanfare. However, you can control the situation. You try to, because this would qualify as a crisis. Your top two starters are down. Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga. Steele's not coming back. Shota might be short-term loss if, in fact, he's going on the injured list, as many expect. We are getting ahead of ourselves. We don't even know what the imaging says. But did he look like a guy that's going to make his next start?
No. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No. So if he's going to miss his next start, and he's going to miss a start after that, Cade Horton is dealing at AAA. He has got 33 strikeouts in 29 innings. His ERA is sub-2. And he's coming off a 6-inning, 1-run performance. And I think that I want to see if the kid's got.
How many innings does he have in that arm?
Good question. But is he not going to pitch at Iowa? I mean, are you going to – here's the one thing you have to consider as well, I think. Anymore, you want these pitchers –
use their bullets at the major league level.
Yeah, I don't always. Yeah, that's if they have pitches to throw, I would prefer that they throw them at the major league level than the minor league level if you have a choice. And I think they have a choice right now. So he's a guy that
I just wouldn't want to have him come up and then lean on him and then need him and then have to take your foot off the gas.
You remember years ago, Steven Strasburg. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a phenom, and then they shut him down, and there was a lot of controversy. I think you don't want to be getting in that kind of a situation where you're in September and he's used up all his innings.
Yeah.
But I do think that these are intelligent people doing their jobs in a way that I think puts the best interest of the prospect ahead of everything. And I don't think that using Cade Horton for some spot starts at a time in the season where you might need him.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I would have to sit down and look at everything.
And I'm not right. I'm not wrong. It's a conversation, though. I think it's one that they're probably having. There are pros and cons on both sides. There are pros and cons to this discussion, and I think I understand the other side of it.
Depending on how long Shota is out, you've got a guy that is here that is on the 40-man, that is on the major league team. Like, you could just move a guy in and take a look at that for one or two go rounds before you make a decision, before you DFA someone. I don't even know who it would that be. I don't even know they'd have to do that. But it's just something to consider.
Cade Horton is 23 years old. He was a first-round draft pick, 7th overall in 2022. So basically 3 years. He's had some injury issues. You don't want to tax him too much, certainly. You don't want to do that with any top prospect, but certainly not one who has had his share of arm issues.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's ready to make that step right now. Would you be better off, you know, in 4 weeks, in, you know, 3 weeks, if it came to that? Or is now the time? That's all I'm asking.
I think you've got to balance that, his readiness, with your need. And when you look at the major league team's needs, sometimes if it accelerates the process a little bit because you have a glaring need at a key position, that's part of why you have prospects. That's why you have guys who are improving and developing to the point where they can help the major league team.
And all I'm saying is that there's a difference between being a prospect who's doing well in the minor leagues and getting your first call up and feeling that juice, and then That's all I'm saying.
We've seen that. We don't want if you're the Cubs, you don't want Cade Horton to be the pitching example of Matt Shaw.
Yeah,
the guy who pretty much ascended quickly and excelled at every level. And then got to spring training, and then the hit tool was absent, and it wasn't as obvious. And his hitting ability was something that wasn't evident at the major league level the way it was in the minors. Cade Horton, you could worry about the same types of things because it is a big jump from AAA to the majors, but
Someone talked about Matt Shaw this week. Who was it? This weekend. It might have been a minor league director. somebody said some good things that he's turning a corner and doing some good
things.
Well,
the numbers are pretty encouraging. Yes. But I don't know that you want to get in any big hurry either, because frankly, you don't want to get to the point where he comes up and then what happens if he starts slumping again. The one thing that's been interesting is how open they have been about what their plan is at third base, and their plan appears to be, at least plan A, is waiting for Matt Shaw.
Yes.
Getting by until he's ready. It isn't like we're going to wait to see what's out there during the trade deadline the way a lot of us, you know, hope that they are monitoring. But the third base position throughout baseball isn't what it used to be. And I think there's a good story in The Athletic over the weekend about the diminished production from that position.
Right.
You're not talking about the glory days where Mike Schmidt and Ron Say and Brooks Robinson and go on and on and on.
Right.
And back in the day, or even as recent as 10 years ago, seems to be an area that has...
Why is that?
A position. I'm not sure. Maybe the expectations for corner positions have changed. A lot of different factors that probably contribute, but it's been a problem spot for the Cubs since Chris Bryant has left, and I think it continues to be. So if Matt Shaw, when he's ready again, I think you want to be more I think you want to be more deliberate with Matt Shaw than you would be with Cade Horton, because the need is greater for a starting pitcher to provide a little stopgap until Shota is back. And we're making a lot of assumptions about Shota and Managa. It just didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good. We don't have any information yet, so we really ought to...
Dustin's telling us to tap the brakes a little bit, so I think we need to probably tap the brakes a little bit.
That's what Dustin is telling
us? I can tell by his expressions that maybe we're getting a little too far ahead of ourselves.
We have to wait, right? I mean, if he was carried off the field, if there would have been the little cart had come out with the little flatbed on the back and he had to sit on that, I'd be sounding alarms. And
he didn't look healthy. He looked in pain.
Well, David, I mean, go back to this commercial. He doesn't look healthy, right? I mean, right?
Well, he's a little doughy. But that doesn't mean I'm not diminishing the injury. Hamstring injuries take a while to heal in any sport.
Right. I'm with you. I do not think he makes his next start. I think the question is it beyond a next start? He will not pitch this weekend in New York against the Mets. That I feel confident in saying. But I don't know anything either.
So this is from the Des Moines Register, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Shaw is ready to come back to the majors. At least that's the opinion of Iowa Cubs co-hitting coach Rick Strickland. Strickland has worked with the recently demoted Shaw at third at AAA Iowa and believes the young third baseman is back on track. He's ready. He's ready to go back. He has slashed .302, .455, .897 with four extra base hits.
Is he quoted in that story?
He is quoted.
Rick Strickland?
Rick Strickland is quoted saying,
saying
he's ready to come
back. Okay. I think Judge should put a gag order on Rick Strickland.
Well, he says he's ready.
He's ready?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Cubs agree.
Yeah. He's ready. He's ready.
Okay.
So get off your dead behinds, Cup. What?
It's like, well, if any coach at Iowa says he's ready, is he ready?
The co-hitting coach calls him ready to go back.
I would be deliberate with him. I'd be deliberate with Matt Shaw. I would be really...
I thought you meant with the co-hitting coach.
No, I don't know about that.
You wouldn't be deliberate with him?
No.
You just get on the horn?
I would be decisive with him.
There you go. Rick Strickland says he's ready. And we heard from someone talked about the White Sox, Colson Montgomery, your guy, that it's just something you have to go through. He's going to be fine. Was it Marcus Thames?
Yeah, the hitting coach. He went through that when he was a youngster.
When he was a player.
With the Yankees, I believe.
That's right.
And you know what? He had a good point. He had a setback. Then he had a 10-year major league career.
Yeah.
And so this happens. The isolated one-on-one time. I think you understand it, and I know it's something that you scoff at a little bit, because who takes a player out of the season, sends him for a week in Arizona at the Camelback Spa, and gets his mind right and his body healed, and then he comes back and he's better than ever.
Camelback Spa. It's so beautiful.
But I think you expect him to be better, and this doesn't have to be... this doesn't have to be a negative for Colson Montgomery, even though it feels like one now. That's what the Sox are trying to sell.
They should have sent Vaughny there, too, because he could take him golfing.
He could go, he knows the best courses, apparently.
He knows all the starters. Yes,
that's not fair. If you're the Sox, though, should you have, I don't want to say invented an injury, but wouldn't it have been better off to maybe send him there with the quad strain?
Yeah. Probably.
Or did it put him on the IL and then send him to Arizona for rehab?
Yeah, I mean, you could do it that way. There's no doubt about it. But
their openness should be applauded, I suppose, because everybody knows what's going on here. And so we'll see when he gets back.
All right. We've got lottery night tonight in the NHL, and we've got an opening, I believe, still with the Chicago Blackhawks. And we've got Frank Saravelli from Chicago Sports Network. He is going to join us next to talk over some of these things. Maybe we'll ask him a Game 7 question as well, since that's going on. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
I mean, absolutely. I'd love to be involved in some of the hockey ops, and it's been my choice. You know, because I played the 48, I kind of missed that window of coaching, and then I had the luxury in Detroit of just being at home, being on the ice at the home practices, and coaching alongside Tony Granato, basically a part-time job, which is a luxury. It's not fair to the other coaches, but... You know, when they wanted my input, I gave it. And if they used it, fine. If they didn't, and it was a great, you know, I thought it was a great role that I played with those guys. And I'd love to teach the young D and be part of the, you know, the hockey ops. And I've had that conversation with Danny Wirtz, and I hope to have it again this summer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Chris Chelios. We talk to Chelly every week, and it was interesting to hear what he had to say. We talked to Eddie Olczyk recently. I think there are plenty of people that want to work for the Blackhawks, want to be involved with the Blackhawks, but they have yet to hire a coach, and we're delighted to welcome in Frank Saravelli from the Daily Faceoff. You see him on Chicago Sports Network, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
Doing well.
And you know, the Hawks are big in the news today because, well, they finished penultimate, and they got a 12.5% chance of getting the first pick, and they're going to get one of the first four picks tonight, but they still need a coach. They still need a leader of the organization. We thought maybe they were going to hire the guy from Denver, but he didn't want it. What are you hearing? Where are they at? And how important is this turning point for the organization?
Well, the turning point, I'll start there, is really significant because, look, I think if you have one question about this Hawks season, and I think a lot of things were answered about what we saw in the last few weeks with some of their top prospects turning pro, the one question still remaining is, how do you get Connor Bedard to the next level? I think by all accounts, this was a disappointing year. He seemed to be a guy that was fighting it at times, both mentally and physically. I think he needs a retool of some of his mechanics, and I think he needs a total hard reset from a mental perspective and to come back with a different point of view. Now, a coach can go a long way in helping fix at least one, if not both of those things, and that part the Blackhawks have to get right. I think they know that. The difficulty is trying to sort out what exactly the type of coach they're looking for and how much is required from an experience perspective, because you ask me what I'm hearing, and the answer is it's pretty slow going. Mm. There's still actually a lot happening on the NHL coaching front with round one ending. I wouldn't be surprised to hear in the next 48 to 72 hours that a team that lost in the first round, like the LA Kings, are making a coaching change, and that's going to be one more name in the pool, one more job opening. And there's kind of these top dogs, and Mike Sullivan was one of them being hired by the New York Rangers. Rick Tocchet is another. And once those two guys are off the board, then I think you're really going to see things start to move.
Want to get to the game sevens over the weekend, but first let's stay with the coaching search, because I think some of those names are very intriguing that you just mentioned, as are Jay Woodcroft and Peter Laviolette, who is also available. I wonder if you think those two guys are still in play for the Hawks. And then please address what to make of the rumors coming out of Tampa about the future of John Cooper.
That's the guy.
Yeah, so the Lightning put that to bed heading into the weekend as well, that John Cooper is staying. And so maybe not really so much of a surprise, the longest tenured coach in the league who's had a ton of success. But I think there were some whispers about people wondering if he himself might want a new challenge. And he said that the answer to that is no. So you can cross that one off. In terms of some of the other bigger names that you're talking about, Jay Woodcroft, Peter Laviolette, some of the real experienced guys that have been out there for a while. John Tortorella is one of those as well. I don't necessarily view them as fits for the Hawks. I don't think that in this new age, new world, and that doesn't necessarily include Jay Woodcroft, who's only had one head coaching opportunity. But I feel like watching some of those guys that have been around for 700 wins or 800 wins, the track record and resume is impressive, but it feels like what they do is wash, rinse, repeat. Hey, I'm going to a new team. I got a new windbreaker today. Just changing the logo, same guy, same style, same yep. everything. And I just feel like that doesn't fit. That's cookie cutter is not what the Hawks should be looking at. And I don't think that is what they're thinking, because they tried to go a totally different path. They made a significant, aggressive pitch to get David Carl. the young up-and-coming coach who wants to do things differently, that doesn't believe in hired to be fired, which is why he isn't taking a job at the NHL level at this point in time. The Hawks tried to go a different path and are trying to be, it's not creative, but let's be innovative here. Let's try and, you know, solve for a problem that you shouldn't be changing coaches every 2.3 years the way they do in the NHL. And I don't know, when I look at the list of coaches that are available, that necessarily one of those guys jumps out, which is why I think they have their work cut out for them.
I'm curious, when you say that Connor Bedard needs a retool of his mechanics, I mean, here's a 19-year-old probably criticized for the first time in his career, and it was not just one or two ex-players. It seemed at one point like there was like a mounting group of players that didn't like any of his defensive efforts and really kind of criticized him fairly regularly. What is it exactly that we're talking about in terms of retooling his mechanics?
So I'll start with the first part. I think so much of that was BS.
Okay.
Some of the older players that used to play in the league 10 or 15 years ago didn't like the cut of his jib. Yeah. I mean, okay, great. Who cares? find something else to criticize. And that part, I never understood the volume and just sheer, it seemed to be attacking him, which yeah. I didn't get, but I'll park that. The mechanic part of it is two things. One, he's never really had to change his game much. Every single thing that Connor Bedard's done in his hockey playing life has come easy to him. He has done it by brute force with sheer talent that was so head and shoulders above everyone else, and came into the NHL and experienced a modicum of success and continued to do things the same way. When it comes to the actual specific mechanics itself, part of it is skating and part of it is deception. He needs to add another layer to his shot to be able to get it off through traffic and find different angles and lanes. And the other part too, I'll add a third one, is I think his mindset needs to change. Mm-hmm. I think Connor Bedard has a top five shot in the NHL, and he came into Chicago thinking, I'm a playmaker. He needs to be a shooter and a scorer, and he can find the rest of his game in terms of being a guy that can dish the puck later. But this team needs goals, and he's got an absolute weapon in his arsenal, and he needs to use it.
Frank, have to talk to you about what happened over the weekend in two game sevens. Last night, you saw the Jets score twice at Winnipeg against St. Louis in the final 2 minutes and then win it in double overtime. Fantastic finish for people up there, and that's going to be a great series against the Stars, who on Saturday night received one of the best performances individually you're ever going to see at any level, but certainly in the playoffs in the NHL, with Mikko Rantanen, a hat trick in the third period. When you think about playoff performances, how do you put into perspective what you saw Saturday night from Rantanen?
One of the best all-time individual performances ever. And the reason for that is not just the moment and the achievement, which is the first player ever to have a hat trick in the third period of a Game 7, but also the opponent. I mean, we don't get that in the NHL very often, an absolute revenge game.
Yep.
And that part, especially after a slow start to the series for him, he finished with 11 points in the final three games, playing against a team that traded him specifically to the Eastern Conference to avoid him. He gets sent back to their division and signs an 8-year contract that is less than what his final ask was, which I believe was still very reasonable from the Colorado Avalanche, and then absolutely jams it up them in the third period to close out their season and end a Avalanche run in the first round with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar in the absolute heart of the prime of their careers. It doesn't get any better than that. from a narrative perspective, but also from a sheer individual brute force perspective, it's as good as we've ever seen.
You know, I'm curious, when you look at this draft, and obviously the lottery is tonight and the Hawks know they'll be in the first four, it seems like Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman from the OHL, is the favorite to be the number one overall pick. You know, the Hawks obviously took a defenseman last year. Are they just in the procurement business? Do they need to take whoever is the best player, deemed the best player? And I understand part of it could be that the draft class of defensemen isn't as deep as in many other years, and that's why the kid stands above everyone else. There's a couple of centermen.
Michael Mesa at number two would make sense, or even, I don't know about number one, Frank, but don't they need a playmaker?
They need a running mate for Bedard and Nazar.
Look,
I think in an honest way, winning the draft lottery would be kind of problematic for the Hawks. Because Schaefer is the consensus number one overall pick. He does seem to have a ceiling that is above the rest of the players in this class. But that said, the Hawks don't need a defenseman. It's Lev Shunov, it's Rinzel, it's Vlasic. They're set on their blue line moving forward. In fact, you could make the argument that they have too many defensemen, and they're going to have to be real curious and careful about how they pick their team in the fall, because you're suddenly potentially dealing with waivers. That if they were to win the lottery, what you'd probably be seeing is, and let's say they don't trade out of the pick, which could be a possibility, you're talking about drafting a top pair defenseman, which is never a problem, but then you're having to trade one of the other guys that we just talked about. So it would create an interesting conundrum. I think picking in the two or three hole would probably be a bit more comfortable from that perspective, because there's just less heavy lifting that has to go alongside it. But I mean, I'm probably framing it the wrong way, because if you do win the lottery, what you've just won is optionality.
Right. But I do think it makes sense, though. Yeah. If they lose it, then nobody's going to be that disappointed. Great stuff, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Good to be with you guys. Have a good week.
Frank Saravelli, good stuff from him. That's really, all of that is really interesting. I love any kind of Bedard talk.
Well, he's right about Bedard, because he's honest about Bedard. Yeah. He wasn't as down on him as a lot of people, but he also was honest about what he needs to do to take that next step.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
There he goes. The pitch out. Throw down a second. And he steals second base. Luis Robert Jr., one of the best in the game.
Second stolen base of the day. Caratini had it all going for him. This time a clean transfer and a good throw, just not quite in time.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you, CHSN, for that highlight of the Luis Robert steal. His 15th of the season, not only one of the best in the game, thank you, John Schifrin and Steve Stone, the best so far this year. Nobody is stealing more bases than Luis Robert Jr., which is why Bob Nightingale, one of the reasons Bob Nightingale from USA Today on Sunday in his notes package, which was about 3,000 words, goodness sakes, that was good stuff from Bob Nightingale. Get to that later. But he described a situation in a scenario, Molly, where if Luis Robert Jr. continues to hit at the rate that he's hitting and steal bases at the rate that he's stealing, then he's going to be more attractive to teams, and he could be gone by Memorial Day.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Bob is locked into the White Sox. I know he's got a lot of good relationships and has a lot of good information. And I'm not saying he's wrong.
You sound like you're skeptical.
I just think that he is not really hitting very well. He's come around and he's hitting better. But if you look at his numbers, I think this guy probably will wind up being the all-star representative for the White Sox. And I think that if the weather warms up and he starts hitting more, I think his value will be higher if you hang on to him a little longer.
I respect where you're coming from.
That he gets hurt.
I am just afraid of that. I would be afraid of that.
But I mean, you know, Benintendi may have gotten injured yesterday again.
That opens the door for Tim Elko. Come on up. From Charlotte to Chicago, you'd be going up. And you'd be moving up from AAA to the majors. Why is he not moving up now? What's been the holdup? I don't know what the holdup is. You seem to have an idea where there's something murky.
I honestly believe that if they bring up Elko, then he's going to be over Vaughn. And I think they're not ready to kind of get – Vaughn can't do very many things.
I just don't like the way that that's positioned or posited as a either or, because I don't think it has to be.
I agree with you on that. Front.
First of all, designated hitter allows you to play two first basemen, essentially. Right. That was the Gavin Sheets role for years.
I thought he was a right fielder.
And they found out otherwise. So, Tim Elko, the door should be open, especially if Benintendi is injured.
It should have been open already.
But so
This guy should have come up a week ago.
I hear you.
10 days ago.
He's got 10 homers now.
I know.
He had 8 in 10 games.
Yeah.
So the Sox win their second series of the year against a good Astros team. Also, not to be overlooked, I know you like this guy before. Rule 5 pick, the second Rule 5 guy, Mike Vassell.
How about Mike Vassell?
2 1/3 scoreless innings, got his first major league win.
Yeah. The White Sox still only have one save on the season.
That's funny.
I don't know if that is annoying to you, because the last time they had a rainout, they did get a save. the first time. The so let only me get this time.
Right. You wanted Vassell to get the save instead of the victory?
I thought he might get a save, but he gets the victory.
It was only a seven-and-a-half-inning game or seven-inning game.
Congratulations to him on his first victory of his career. And as you say, one of three Rule 5 guys on this team, although right now Gage Workman injured himself on the play that that you turned and your nose up at.
He injured himself on the play, the error, and he impaired his chances of sticking around.
Well, they need
they need what?
Talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need a guy. They need guys who can catch the ball.
He's being on the injured list, a good spot for him right now.
Right now it is.
Because they can keep him on the major league roster and they can make a decision moving forward. And we'll see what happens when he's in good health. But they have, David, the very fact they have not one, not two, but three Rule 5 guys. And Mark Vassell has done pretty well for himself. But every team in baseball, every team in baseball, including Colorado, has at least four saves. And the White Sox have what?
It's an oddity. It is an oddity. Statistical oddity, which fascinates you. It's very interesting to see.
I'm not obsessed with it, but I'm aware of it.
Last point on Luis Robert Jr. I think it's interesting to see his streak coincided with them telling, according to Marcus Thames, who talked before Sunday's game, telling him just to let it go. Just go have fun.
Yeah.
Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. It seemed like he's taking just more of a carefree approach to the each plate appearance, and he is also being selective at the same time. So he's not chasing as much as he's always going to chase a little.
Yeah.
But he's been hitting.
You can't walk off the island, as we all know.
He's been hitting better over the last 2 weeks, and now when he gets on base, he's a threat to steal, and he leads the majors in stolen bases, and that's fun to see.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, you know, when they were going to trade him, they felt they needed two good young players, two good young position players. They still need that. They could probably get one for him right now. So why not wait a little bit and let's see what happens? But
yeah, nothing bad could happen to a White Sox player.
Well, I mean, listen.
They never get injured.
Roll the bones a little. What the heck? It's Mully and Haw. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.